Welcome to Conversations on the Avenue, a podcast series that engages with artists, curators and critics who work in and around the Middle East. I'm Anna Seaman. Abbas Akhavan is a Toronto-based artist. Largely, his body of work consists of site-specific installations, sculpture, video and performance, which he makes in response to his environment. It's a process that he calls searching. Represented by the Third Line in Dubai, his latest exhibition has no title. I met with Abbas at the gallery a few days before the opening. I asked him about his plans for the gallery space, which was still being set up. He told me that he often leaves final decisions like the overall layout of an exhibition, and even which artworks will be included, to the last minute. He considers this a part of his site-specific practice.
I usually work site-specific, reducing a kind of a... or editing to find a synchronicity between the works. But I generally don't overplan an install because I think it's important to kind of pay attention to, I don't know, the smell, the juju, the vibe of a room. And that's more exciting because it sets up more chances for failure or unpredictable success.
Sounds interesting. And we all can't wait to see the exhibition once it does find its place within this space. Could you just talk about some of the primary works that you're going to be showing? Obviously, you mentioned they're part of a larger collective of works, but maybe let's talk about some of the specifics that we'll be able to see once it is set up.
I've been for a while making work about like the garden as a contested space, as a territorial space, not so much as a sentimental space. And I think this show has some of those elements in it. There's some works that deal with property a little bit, or a guarding of private property that have been inverted into objects that were almost like from offensive objects to defensive objects. And then there's some works that deal with the treatment of animals a little bit. And there's some formal explorations with clay and other materials.
Okay, just to give our listeners a visual picture, I mean, we're talking about sculptural works. I believe bronze sculptural works will be a central part of the show. Is that right?
No, there's metal work. There's a small body of work that's made out of bronze. And then there's some work made out of clay. There's a fabric piece. They kind of range in material fully. But I guess in a specific sense, there's one object, for example, that mimics the fencing that's used historically to ward trespassing. So there are these spikes that they build. You see them often in France and Italy, sometimes in Germany. They're these kind of very simple forms of these spikes that you'll put between two people's balcony or on a pipe. You actually see them quite a lot in England as well. Or they'll put it like around a water pipe so that you can't climb around. And one of the things I've done is that I've changed the form of this object into a cornered piece or a corner piece where the work is actually protecting itself as opposed to property trespassing. So it becomes a kind of a sentient object as opposed to an offensive object.
Thanks for that description. And I know that this is kind of putting you on the spot because the show is still coming together in many ways. But there's another work I think we can talk about in Study for a Garden, mm-hmm. Which are these kind of replica twigs, would you say, or sticks from a tree? How would you describe these ones that I can see here in front of me?
They're actually one-to-one casts of tree branches or sticks from, or branches from different trees that have been cast in bronze. So each stick is burnt out and then replaced with bronze. So every piece is actually unique. And they're shown on a pile, but all the sticks are sharpened at one end. And it's called Study for a Garden. They're either could be used as spears, or they're also preliminary kind of branches or sticks made for a garden to be used as spikes for fencing to guard off a certain area of a space.
But this thematic or this symbol of the spike, obviously that's the second time you've mentioned it, and a spike can be something, as you said, defensive, or it can be something aggressive. Are these notions something that we can keep coming back to when we enter the show?
Not so much. I think there's a relationship between these two works, but Some of the other works are just more explorations with clay, formal explorations with clay. A text piece that's from a book that's going to be printed, that's going to be made. Or I'm trying to think of what else is in the show, actually. There's some mirror works in the show, or 2D works that are basically photographs or images that are framed in shadow boxes. But instead of using a glass, I use a mirror, and the mirror faces the photograph. So the viewer doesn't see the photograph, but the image sees itself.
So all these works come together under the title Recently, which I guess is a deliberate decision not to have a sort of curatorial objective or even even obvious links, as you've said, between the works. It's more, would you say, like a showcase of your most recent works? Is that why you chose the title?
We just eliminated the title, so there's no more title for the show. Sorry, just to tell you that it's still in the forming process. So we've actually decided that the show isn't going to have a title. It's just going to have my name. And then there's an exhibition of a bunch of works set out on the floor and on the walls for viewing.
Interesting. That's another great point. I mean, that just shows that I find that is something unusual, though. Most artists do not work in this way, as you mentioned, like at this kind of coming to the space and then feeling your way and feeling your vibe, feeling, like you said, the vibe of the place, feeling what feels right, and then working on a, you know, on a more spontaneous basis. So how does that relate, Abbas, to the way that you have positioned yourself as an artist? I mean, have you always looked at your practice as something that's very open to being developed or being being informed by the place that you're in or the environment that you're working with within?
That's the nature of making site-specific work, is that you kind of go to the site and you glean information. Some people call it research, or I call it searching. And that information can be gleaned from anywhere from having, you know, random conversations with locals, to going to a library, to just spending time in the space. Like, I mean, in this case, it's a pretty white cube space, but I've had exhibitions and sites where it necesitates that I spend a month there or even 3 months. So I sleep in the space and I work in the space. So it has a much more organic relationship. And part of that research is also just loitering and trying to understand how things are arranged in some ways. It even becomes as trivial or as ordinary as watching how people in different cultures stack their garbage. And that arrangement is something that's like a method, but it's not an aesthetic it's not an aesthetic choice. It just is part of a way of living. So all that to say that where you collect the information can be really broad. Again, this show is different because I'm just dealing with a kind of a white cube space. So it's not so much the juju of the space in this case as it is about more how the works synchronize, how prepared I come to a show. I think all artists have a level of risk that they take, or in my case, because I don't have it, until recently, I've never had a studio. So it's not like I can just have all these works come together and then see them, you know, together in a space before I bring them to the exhibition. A lot of these works were made either here, or some of them were made at a residency in France during the at the Alexander Calder Atelier. Some of the works were made in Munich. So there's a gathering of these disparate works, but they all come from one source, which is, you know, me, I guess.
Yeah, it's you. It sounds to me, Abbas, like you're in a kind of transitional phase at the moment. You know, you mentioned some different changes, like you're just getting a studio for the first time. This show is a departure in some ways from work you've done before. So can you talk a bit about like what led you up to this moment, or the last few years of how your practice is continuing to develop and the changes that you're making?
I think I've always made my own work, or I've always made my own work with assistants, because I think it's important to have a material relationship with one's practice, or one's doing. But in my case, I think for the first time, I'm trying to get have a studio-based practice that's more long-term. So usually the studios that I'm provided with are only like 2 months, 3 months, and then I have to clear out. And there's a lot of that kind of fragmentation is not conducive to an ongoing relationship to a studio, because I might have a studio for 2 months in a year or 3 months in a year. I think there's funny enough, after 10 years of doing site-specific or exhibition-based work, I've come to a new phase where I feel like there's a lot of fruitful potential for a studio space. I call it like kind of, it's a kind of a fermenting space where objects can sit next to each other and they become contagious. And then they can kind of develop in that friction or that kind of synchronicity. They can develop a new formal quality or even theoretical overlap. But also, I think that studio is where a lot of abstraction happens too, because things can just sit. And as I said, they become contagious. So I'm pulling back and trying to establish a more studio-based practice.
Okay, and I mean, what are your primary concerns as an artist in terms of, you know, you mentioned the environment, you mentioned, in the gallery statement for this specific exhibition talks about animals and saints and weapons and property. And I, you know, having had this conversation with you so far, I feel that you are, you're very introspective and you're interested in the relationship of objects between each other. And obviously, you know, there are many other research-based elements that go into your practice, but I just feel like asking you what wakes you up in the morning? What like drives you to make work?
I don't know if art drives me to wake up out of bed in the morning. I think it's a very selfish practice. I think it's a bit of it's a remarkable, almost fantastical life because basically people facilitate and in many generous ways come together to bring to fruition something that I think is of value, which to me, every single time something like that happens, I'm amazed by it and I never take it for granted. But I think artists need to create avenues for their concerns to have objectives outside of maybe just art, in the sense that sometimes when for example, if you're deeply invested in certain politics and or the environment or whatever, art can facilitate to bring into surface those things. But I think it's really good to have another avenue where those things are addressed through like doing legislative work or helping petitions, proper petitions actually, or being part of an environmentalist group or doing political work that a little bit alleviates the art from this kind of grand responsibility of addressing everything. Because there is a kind of a co-option that happens in the art world of subduing one's concerns in some ways. There's a lot of room to be heard and speak. I just think sometimes the work becomes really burdened with greater responsibility than it is capable of potentially.
I understand. I think that's an interesting conversation to be had, because as you said, there is a lot of emphasis or burden put on individual pieces or practice. And of course, the conceptual threads that tie everything together are just as important as the artwork in itself. What I like about this exhibition is that it straddles the boundary, if you like, between some kind of open studio, looking at your, just observing your work as it is, a kind of gathering of objects from the last few months or years, that doesn't necessarily label itself under any way. As you've told us, in fact, there is no title for this exhibition. Mm-hmm. So it's about people's experience and people's response also. You leave a lot of space for that too, rather than being didactic in any way. And how important for you is is that space, the kind of, you know, the third space where the visitor or the audience would then come in and make their own inputs and choices when it comes to how they experience your work?
Different works have different objectives, is what I'm trying to say. And I've done more, even with the works like Ghost that I've done in the past, or even with Study for a Monument, there's a very explicit political concern that's in the work. But I think it's really important that there's a level of agency in the viewer in how they want to have an opinion about the political concerns within the work, that the work isn't dictating to them what their opinion should be. But different works, as I said, have different objectives. And in this show, it's a little bit more open in that each work is shown as its own little pocket of ideas. and material explorations. So part of the reason for not having a title is to not create an overarching curatorial theme, which I'm sure people will find inevitably in the show. It's just that I don't want to govern that so much. These pieces work as trappings in some ways, in the sense that I hope there's some sort of a material transformation or some sort of material kind of a juju that holds someone in relation to the work, and a lot of them deal with that kind of bodily concern. So I think that the ideas are under the materials, and I hope that it keeps people, and maybe some of them are terribly boring and people won't be interested in them, and that's fine too. I don't think delivering is an objective here.
Okay, hopefully I don't think people will be bored coming to your show. Can we move a little bit to the study for a monument? You mentioned it just now. That was the work that you worked on for the Ebrage Prize back in 2014. I mean, personally, I had seen a similarity in the aesthetic between the plants on the floor and these newer works that are appearing in this show, the casts of the tree branches. But I guess the similarity is it maybe just stops at the aesthetic. Would that be right? I mean, there's not too much of a link between the two.
They're plants made out of bronze, but they're very different from their source. This is actually made from sticks. The other works were sculpted from wax based on plant anatomy that I sourced from botanical gardens. And these works don't have any relationship to botanical species, while the other pieces were kind of monuments, archiving or documenting proper plant anatomy of plant species that are in fragile or precarious condition or environments. And also those were blown up like in scale significantly to look like parts of a monument, and they were charred, and so they were very different in their exhibition, in their presentation too, because they were shown on white cotton bed sheets while these are just shown together as a stack on the floor. I think there's a when you make one body of work, you don't want to just suddenly make a bunch of derivatives from it. And it took me a long time to resign to what would be the next piece that I want to work with plants and bronze, potentially. And though there's obviously a connection there that's very explicit, I think this work is distant enough that I feel comfortable with it. It's not a kind of a dovetailing or coattailing of a last piece.
Here I am just trying to make links between your works, and obviously you are trying to do the opposite. I think it's an interesting relationship also as a viewer, because I think at least sometimes the way that people look at work, we look for signposts, we look for, points of entry in terms of concept or understanding and aesthetic. And what I find fascinating about your work is that you've left it so open that there's no need for us to do that. We just have to come and experience. We just have to, like you even doing so yourself, it's your work, but you're also leaving it open to experience once you stand inside the space, once you feel where something should go, or where something should be placed. You're leaving that experience open as well. I wanted to ask you too, Abbas, you will be making some work or producing some work whilst you're here in Dubai. Is that right?
It's more affordable and also less carbon footprint to make work in site than it is to ship it arbitrarily from across the water. So we're making some works here.
Can you tell us anything about the works that you'll be making at this point?
I really don't know, because I don't know if we're going to be in the show.
Okay.
Yeah, so it might be like a piece made out of wood veneer. There might be a small concrete piece. Might be. Kind of thing. I really don't know if they're going to be finished, so it doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if they'll be part of the show.
Well, so I know in your last two shows, particularly the one in 2010, you actually responded to the environment here in Dubai. Will you be making work that's responding to Dubai now?
This show is not so much, it's not related at all into Dubai. I think the 2010 was a closer observation of certain things that I was dealing with the market and the value of gold and real estate and commercial art and all this stuff. But this show is not related. It's
much more of a step forward in your practice and a kind of almost introspection. Would you say that as a summary? How would you summarize
it? It could be a step backwards.
Well, we'll leave that open for the visitors to experience once they come to your show. Thank you so much, Abbas.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing that when it opens next week. Thanks. Bye-bye. Conversations on the Avenue is a podcast series by Al Sakal Avenue. This episode was written and presented by Anna Seaman. For more episodes, visit alsakalavenue.ae/folio or find us on Apple Podcasts, and be sure to subscribe. Thank you for listening.